And so let's see. This will be in no particular order, okay? So we'll see how this works. Okay? I really expected a whole lot more people today. I just
Everybody gets a prize.
Yeah, right. No, not don't have that, okay? But yes, every lady, before you leave, you will be able to take home something. So we have a gift for all of the ladies in our church today. All right, so let's do this one. Let's do the mother who has been married the longest and the husband must be present. So let's see, if you've been married and your husband is here with you, if you've been married 30 years or more, stand. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. And Becky needs to stand too. Okay. All right. Okay, because I am present. Some of you wonder on Sunday mornings whether I'm really present or not, but I am. Okay? All right. Let's see if you've been married 40 years or longer, stay standing. If you've been married 50 years or more, stay standing. Anybody more than 50? All right. Okay. We have Virginia Vance. So how long have you been putting up with him? 51 years. Congratulations. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? That is cool. All right. So I'm gonna do this one. So I'm gonna do the newest mother from last Mother's Day to today. And so if you are a new mother from last Mother's Day to today, stand. All right. Okay. She's the only one here. So happy Mother's Day. All right. Okay. We're going to try this one. Mother who has attended LHBC the longest. So if you've been attending Lake Hazel Bible Church for 30 years or more, stand. Okay, well, you don't need to stand, Jan. Okay. Jan, just tell us how long you've been attending Lake Hazel Bible Church, including when it was in your house. Okay. So that means the church is 47 years old or so? Okay. All right. I know some of you think, oh, the church is just brand new. That's because God's Spirit is new every Sunday morning, right? Okay. All right. Let's see. I think we can do this one. Okay, the newest mother to LHBC, excluding today. So if you've been coming to LHBC for 2 years, stand. Or less, 2 years or less. Okay, all right. If you've been coming less than 1 year, stay standing. Okay, all right. How long, Roxindra? Okay, 9 months? Okay, how long, Patty? Last August? Okay, all right. Okay. So we'll honor both of you. Pink or green? There you go. All right. Let's give all of these ladies a round of applause. Ladies, we are so grateful that you are here this morning. So don't forget that after the morning service, make sure that you pick up your gift and take it with you. Okay? All right. Are you ready to praise God? Is that why you came this morning? All right, good. Let's do it.
Would you all stand up with me? This morning we're going to sing a few songs about how good God is. And it's so poignant to remember that Jesus not only died on that cross, but was resurrected for you, for me, so we could live. So today, as we sing these songs, death was arrested. This is our God. This is who we're here to worship and who we're here to praise. Don't miss this opportunity to praise the Lord with your heart. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. this is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. And this is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But He heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of His faithfulness. Never once did He fail, and He never will. This is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Give the Lord a round of applause. He is worthy of our praise. Come on. King Jesus, our King. Lord, we are here to worship You today because of what You've done, because of who You are. You're the one who says that all our sin, all our shame, all the things that we think separate us from You, You paid the price. You bore the cross. You went to the grave for us. And now we're free. Free. Forever we're free. Come join the song of the redeemed. We're free. Lord, thank You. Thank You for our freedom in Christ. You are worthy of all our praise today, every bit of it. In Your name we pray, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen? Yeah. He is worthy of every last bit of praise we have to give. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Next two verses together. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise him. Glory, glory to his name. Next verse, let's lift him up. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Yes, his blood can wash away each stain. You are good in all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I have seen your mercy. Follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You call me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You've saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. And now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good. And you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Jesus, you are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. Lord, you are trustworthy and true. In all things, you are good. If it wasn't for you, Lord, where would we be? If it wasn't for you, Lord, we're here because of you. We're here to praise you. We're here to recognize just how amazing you are today. And Lord, may it change our lives. May it change our lives as we stand in awe before you, because you're worth it. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise your name. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we continue to worship and be grateful. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. Seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. Now I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to seek and save the lost. Yes, I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you. To seek and save the lost.
Aren't you glad this morning he came to save the lost? That includes us. But when we came to believe in Jesus as Savior, we were no longer what? Lost. We once were lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now we see. Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us, as he came to show us God's love. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Oh, there for a moment, I thought we didn't have any. It's like, whoa, wait. All right. Father, we are so grateful. So grateful that you brought to us to a place to where we could hear the message of Jesus, who loved us so much that he left the glory and the splendor of heaven, came to this earth to be born at a little city called Bethlehem, to grow to be a man, to be able to show us who you were, and to be able to fulfill your purpose for all of mankind, to provide your redemption to those who would believe. And Father, I'm so grateful for the fact that you loved us so much, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And Father, I just pray that this morning, that our hearts and our minds will be open as you teach us more about yourself, that you teach us more about your ways. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. I hope if you are a child of a mother here this morning that you've already told your mother Happy Mother's Day. I hope that you, if you're a mother and you're here this morning and your child isn't here, that somehow, some way, they've already communicated to you Happy Mother's Day. And I'm so thankful that all of you as ladies are joining us today. We may not see them very often, but they're out there. They're in the world today. And they've always been there. And today, their number is increasing. Just so that you're not worried, I'm not talking about UFOs. But I'm talking about women who are wise in the ways of business. Muriel Siebert is the superintendent of banks for New York State, where she oversees the management of $400 billion. Can you imagine that? I can't even wrap my head around that number. I don't even want to know how many zillions of zeros that might be. But $400 billion in our nation's largest state banking department. She was the first woman to attain this kind of power in the financial world. She was the first female member of the New York Stock Exchange, and she owns her own brokerage company. Vera Newman, a grandmother, is co-chairman of Vera Industries, with retail sales over $100 million. Her merchandising vice president and executive vice president are both women. And these women that we just mentioned, and there are more like them in our world today, these women have something in common with a woman that we're going to talk about this morning named Lydia. Now, Lydia is a businesswoman who is mentioned in the book of Acts. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts and Acts chapter 16. Now, I know that in our study of the book of Acts, we're not there yet. Okay, but when we get to this, we'll figure something else to be able to say about Lydia when that time comes, okay? You should see my notes on as I was getting ready to prepare this message. So because I've been studying the book of Acts, when I came to this part of Acts chapter 16 that talks about this lady named Lydia, it was like, what can I say on Mother's Day? What can I say on the day that we honor mothers and the day that we honor ladies here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? What can I say about this lady? And so I had a whole page full of things, and I'm not going to give you all of those things. I've kind of narrowed it down a little bit this morning. But this woman, Lydia, she represents lots of women who have been thrust by circumstances into the world of business. Now remember, back in Bible days, women did not have the status that they have in our world today. They don't have the status that they would have, even the status that women have here in America today. There are still countries around the world where women don't have that kind of status, that they're second class or even lower citizens. They're considered possessions by their husbands and by the other men in their life. May that never be said of us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, that we do not appreciate the women that God has sent to us to be a part of our church. I don't know if you realize this or not, but at one time in her life, Corrie ten Boom learned watchmaking. And she became so good at it that she became Holland's first licensed female watchmaker. Isn't that amazing? And back then, the women, that was unusual for a woman to be able to do. Back farther than Corrie ten Boom, in Lydia's day, it was very unusual for a woman to be in business. It was very unusual for a woman to be successful. But the Bible tells us Lydia was very successful. She was a seller of purple goods, and she was from the city of Thyatira. Now, if that rings a bell, there's a letter that Jesus told the Apostle John to write to a church called Thyatira, and it's given to us in Revelation. She was a traveling saleswoman of the ancient world. Her business provided well for her and her household. Lydia was selling garments and accessories made of purple and doing all right in the business world. And ancient history records that these purple goods that she was selling were used by royalty and the upper class. So maybe she was dealing with some of the most influential people of her day, which again was very unusual for a woman. Well, not only do we want to look at the fact that Lydia was very good and very successful in the business realm, but we want to look at the fact that she was successful in the spiritual realm, which is far more important for any person to be more successful in that realm. So hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 16. So follow along as I read verses 11 through 15. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace. Now, the we here is Luke and Paul, okay? We made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we were supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So this passage tells us some interesting things about Lydia. And as I studied this, as I looked at this, I was drawn to the fact of Lydia's heart. These verses, I think, tell us that Lydia put her heart into everything she did. How can we come to that understanding? How can we come to that conclusion? Well, I think by examining Lydia's heart. And I'm not talking about her physical heart. So let's look at Lydia's heart. First, I believe that Lydia had an obedient heart. Lydia, despite of her being a busy businesswoman, closed up shop on the Sabbath and joined some other ladies for a prayer meeting by the river. This tells us something about Lydia. She put God before gold in her value system. Wow. I think there's a lesson there, don't you? She put God before gold in her value system. Now, there are other women referred to, and so we see there were others like Lydia, and those in this gathering were women of prayer. So here she is, gathering together with a, I believe, bunch of women who believe in Jesus as Savior, and they are gathering together for prayer. And this little group of women by this river provided the base for the beginning of God's mission in Europe. It was God that led Paul to this prayer meeting down by the river. Now, Paul didn't look at this group and say, yeah, there's nothing here but some women, so we just as well move on until we find a more important group. No, what did he do? He stayed. He stayed with them. He interacted with them. He got to know them, and he allowed them to what? Get to know him as well. Okay? So, God led Paul to Lydia because she was a woman with an obedient heart. She was a Gentile who somehow had heard about God, and she was convinced he was the Creator God, and she believed in Jesus for salvation, and she worshiped him. And as we've already seen, the book of Acts is filled with accounts of resistance and opposition to the mission of God. But remember, there's another side. Many of hearts where the seeds of God's message sprouts immediately, and there is fruit of belief in Jesus as Savior. There is fruits of obedience. Lydia obeyed God. She came to understand that Jesus came to be the Savior. She believed in him as Savior. And then what did she do after that? She followed Jesus' example. She was obedient as she followed his example in baptism. You know, we need to be praying that God will lead us to people whose hearts are prepared by God's Spirit, like Lydia. And there are many like her in our world today. As we've been looking at the book of Acts and we've been focusing on God's mission, we've learned that over and over again already in just a few chapters that we've been looking at, that God leads people to other people to be able to do what? To tell the message that Jesus came to die on the cross and that they can believe in him as Savior. Now, Lydia was smart. She was smart, and she knew the truth when she heard it. She knew a spiritual opportunity was knocking, and she did not hesitate to open her heart to God's truth. Not only did Lydia have an obedient heart, but as we just talked about, she had an open heart. Now notice that it doesn't tell us here in Acts chapter 16 that Lydia didn't need to be knocked to her knees and blinded like Paul to be able for what? God to get her attention. All she needed was to hear the truth of God's love and the gift of his son as Savior, and she believed. You know, God had to dynamite the door open of Paul's heart, but Lydia's heart was open to the truth of God's message. And you know, there's people like that today that are just willing to open their heart to the truth of God's message. There's other people where God has to do something amazing to be able to what? Get their attention. But nonetheless, no matter whether it is their coming to Jesus as Savior is a quiet experience, or whether it's, you know, out of some really terrible circumstances, nonetheless, the story is still the same, isn't it? The opportunity is still the same. The believing in Jesus as Savior is still the same for every single person who believes, no matter what their past was, no matter what the circumstances surrounding their belief in Jesus was all about. It's not that we get the glory, it's that he gets the glory. Because it's not about who we are, it's about what he has done. Amen? But she had an open heart. You know, because her heart gently was led to believe in Jesus as Savior, this reminds us that people coming to believe in Jesus as Savior is not limited to the church building. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. I think sometimes people say, well, we come to your church, Pastor Sam, and we don't see people walk in the aisle. We come to your church, Pastor, and we hear you pray, and we hear you exclaim that Jesus is Savior, and all you got to do is believe in him. But we don't see people coming to him in salvation. It's not about what happens in this building. It's not about people walking the aisle. It's not about people praying. It's not about people doing the right things. It's about people believing that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, and now they've come to a place of believing in him as Savior individually. Nobody needs to come to church to believe in Jesus as Savior. Let me say that again. Nobody needs to come to church to believe in Jesus as Savior. Do you understand that this morning? Okay. People can believe in Jesus as Savior in the workplace, at school, in their homes, in the neighborhood, at the rescue mission, or in a care facility. Recently, I've had the opportunity to tell several people in two different care facilities here in the Treasure Valley that to have eternal life, all they need to do is believe in Jesus as Savior. I didn't do that in a church. I did that where they were, where they are. The settings are endless. So that tells us that as we leave this place, we can be involved in God's mission of taking the message that Jesus is Savior to those out there and don't have to wait to drag them into here for them to be able to hear that. We can tell them. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You can just tell them what Jesus means to you. You can just tell them what Jesus has done for you. You can tell them that Jesus came to die on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He came to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and he takes away their sin, takes away our sin. By what? Believing in him as Savior. Lydia's open heart led her to share her spiritual experience with others, especially those in her household. Did you see what it said in verse 15? And after she was baptized and her household. Her household was baptized. Why? Because she told them about Jesus. She told them about Jesus being the Savior. And they what? They believed in Jesus as Savior. Lydia also had an overflowing heart. Lydia was so grateful that Paul brought this good news about Jesus that she immediately went into home missions. She told it to the people in her household. Isn't that what we learned in verse 15? Yes. Okay. And then she asked Paul and his fellow laborers to come to her home and set up their base of operations. She's in Philippi. Where's her home? Her home was in Thyatira, right? That's what we learned in the first part of these verses in Acts chapter 16. So she says to Paul and she says to those that were with Paul, listen, you need to come to my house and you need to share this same message. You need to come to my house and you need to tell people about Jesus. Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Her overflowing heart, expressed by her hospitality, led her home to becoming one of the first churches in Europe. The church of Thyatira was started in a home. Did we just learn this morning, if we didn't already know it, that Lake Hazel Bible Church was started in a home? Yeah. You see, God's methods don't have to change just because the years change, just because the decades change, just because. You know, the work that God has done in Lake Hazel Bible Church so many years ago, and the work that God is doing in Lake Hazel Bible Church, even yet today, God can do in your home. Now, I'm not saying that God might be leading you like he led the Smiths to begin a church in their home. But maybe you have family. Maybe you have people that are related to you that don't believe in Jesus as Savior. Maybe God wants you to be able to share that message with them. Lydia's overflowing heart provided the physical resource for this church, and not only for the church in Thyatira, but Lydia was also part of the beginning of the church in Philippi. So God not only helped use Lydia to be able to start the church in Thyatira, but also to be a catalyst to help start the church in Philippi. Why? Because because she had an overflowing heart. And remember the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi? In contrast to the letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth, the letters that he wrote to the church in Corinth, he wrote to what? Help them through some bad situations that were going on in the church. The letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi, he writes to be able to express to them the fact that their joy is in the Lord. Their joy is in God. Their joy isn't in their circumstances. Their joy doesn't come from what's going on in the culture around them. Their joy comes from God. Read Philippians. It is about joy. It is about joy over and over and over again. Paul writes to this church about joy. He wrote this letter of joy to the church in Philippi. This church in Philippi got off to a happy start and had far fewer problems than some of the other churches that Paul started. And probably the spiritual attitudes and actions of Lydia had a lot to do with this church's good beginning, as well as the church in Thyatira. As Lydia went about selling her purple garments and accessories, she probably took the opportunity to talk to others about Jesus. Some of you are still working in the workplace. Some of you are still in school. Some of you live in neighborhoods. Some of you rub shoulders with people in the community. Are you telling them about Jesus? Are you taking the message that God has given to you to be able to tell them? Are you about doing God's mission? Lydia was. And what an example she is to all of us, whether we be female or male. It doesn't really matter. God desires the same of both of us. Lydia was effective and successful in her business, and she was effective and successful in her spiritual service for God. Now, if you're looking for someone to admire as one who has a heart for God, look to Lydia. So what have we learned this morning? Well, hopefully we learned that Lydia's heart displayed her faithfulness to God. Lydia's heart influenced her family for God. Lydia's heart influenced Paul and Luke. Lydia's heart influenced her community for God. Two communities in Europe. So will you allow God to use your heart, your overflowing heart, your open heart, and your obedient heart to influence others for him? And this question is for women, men, and teens. Father, I thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning as we've been able to look at this account written for us and preserved for us in your word about the kind of woman spiritually that Lydia was. Father, may we be willing to allow you to use our heart to influence those you bring across our path. Father, we can tell each and every person about what Jesus means to us, about what Jesus has done, and the fact that he came to die on the cross to be the Savior of the world, and all they have to do is just believe in him as Savior, and they receive from you that promise of eternal life. Father, may we use the heart that you have given to us to be open, to be obedient, to be overflowing, so that you can bring people to yourself or back to yourself. Father, help us to be able to be involved in your mission as we've learned this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our last song, Glorious Day, Living He Loved Me, would you stand with me as we look forward to our hope, look forward to heaven. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered, and now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. One day the loved one bringing, my Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, glorious day.
Have a wonderful Mother's Day in the name of Jesus.